Hey, we are starting a three-part series called All the Wrong Questions. And it's really important that we understand questions and the power of questions. Before we do it, really quick, let's put our mission statement up. We'll say it together. We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. All right, that's what our church is all about, and that's what we mention every week. So, but we're starting a three-part series called All the Wrong Questions. We're going to explore the impact of the questions we ask ourselves every day. And it's super, 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 super important, because the questions that we ask ourselves can make or break the outcome of just about any circumstance. And they're so powerful. And unfortunately, what most of us do is we ask the wrong questions. And so the right question is the difference between whether we grow or whether we stagnate, whether we get bitter or whether we get better. The right questions, it will make the difference between the right decision or the wrong decision, or even just a compromise of our faith. And Albert Einstein once said this: if I had an hour to solve a problem and my life depended on the solution, I would spend the first 55 minutes determining the proper question to ask. For once I knew the proper question, I could solve the problem in less than 5 minutes. Y'all catch that? Albert Einstein, the big brain, right, knew the power of the right question. Research has shown that one of the major differences between those who succeed in business and those who don't is that successful people ask the right questions when confronted with an issue. So it's so important that we understand the right questions. Because the wrong question will do what? The wrong question frustrates us, right? The wrong question frustrates us, or even the wrong question in a given circumstance or situation can lead us in the wrong direction. Okay? So let me give you just a couple of examples of how you might know if you're asking the wrong question. Okay? So the wrong question will usually prompt a quick answer. Just a quick, like, yes or no. Right? So usually the wrong question will just prompt just a really quick answer. The wrong question will lead to like a shallow answer. So the wrong question can lead to shallow answers that don't require a whole lot of reflecting or thinking. Okay? So if you're asking yourself a question that, you know, you just kind of have a shallow answer, you don't have to think a whole lot about it. And we're talking about you're in a circumstance of in your life that there's an issue, there's a problem, that you need to find a solution to it. And so if you are asking yourself questions that just lead to shallow answers, quick answers, or just yes or no answers, you're probably asking the wrong types of questions, okay? The wrong question is usually closed-ended. And the wrong question can even lead our lives into the wrong direction, like I mentioned before. But the right question, so if you're asking yourself the right question provokes us to dig a little deeper. The right question will make you think. And the right question can even be really empowering. And so the right question can help you reframe a situation. So what does that mean when you reframe it? Maybe you're in a situation and you're looking at it from like one angle. Well, you don't realize that you're only looking at it from one angle. But the right question can make you go, oh, there's other angles to this. Oh, it's not either or. It's not, you know, yes or no. It's not, and it will prompt you to dig a little bit deeper and help you reframe it. The right question actually will help you tap into the God-given creativity and resourcefulness that's in you, that God put in you. You know, God gave us all brains, right? He gave us all brains. And it's so important that we utilize the brains that God gave us. God gave us, you know, I mean, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are made in the image of God. And so if we ask the right questions, it will help us tap into what God has already placed inside of us. But sometimes, we just got to dig a little deeper, okay? A lot of research has found that people are naturally have lazy brains. We don't like to think, right? As a web designer, I can tell you that the user interface research that people have done, as they've said, that people want everything just to be sort of a click away. They don't want to have to dig too deep to find information. They don't want to have to, you know, do this and do that and do that. They just want to... In fact, they say when we build websites that if a person doesn't find what they're looking for in the first 10 seconds or less, they'll bail out. I'm out of here. I'm going on to the next Google search result. Okay? So we tend to have kind of lazy brains. We don't want to think too hard. And so, but the right question will help us to just kind of dig a little bit deeper. And so better questions bring better answers. So if you're not finding the answer, the solution to a problem that you're in, it could be that you're just asking lousy questions and getting lousy answers. And you need to ask better questions to get better answers. And so, you may have witnessed someone asking a bad question, right? And thought to yourself, they really missed an opportunity. And that's kind of what we saw in the video. You know, they could have asked James any question they wanted. You know, somebody could have been in the audience who wanted to start their own talk show and could have asked a question that would have brought about some valuable information instead of, who's that guy, right? And so you might have been in a situation like that. I remember one time I was at a comic book convention. And did anybody here ever see Star Wars Episode I? Okay, a couple people have heard of Star Wars. I know, kind of obscure little movie franchise. But I remember Star Wars Episode I, there was this bad guy in there, Darth Maul, and he had horns and he had black and white face and all this stuff. Well, the actor, Darth Maul, is played by an actor named Ray Park. And I was at this comic book convention where Ray Park did a question and answer. And people are lined up at the microphone and they're able to ask Ray Park anything they want. Anything they want! And this guy goes up to the microphone and goes, "What would you do if Jackie Chan punched you in the face?" Yeah, I know. I like the entire room, there's just like this collective groan. You know. And Ray Park's answer was classic because he was like, "I'd cry like a baby and call my lawyer." You know. But, you know, we have these opportunities to ask, you know, a good question. And it's important that we don't waste that. The first wrong question that I want to talk about today is a question that I hear on the regular, a question that I've asked myself. And that's, what am I supposed to do with my life? What am I supposed to do with my life? And this question gets asked so much. I've probably asked that myself 1,000 times. I'm sure at least one or two of you have asked yourself that, or have asked a pastor that, or have asked a friend that. And it's one of those questions that we think, if we can answer the question, what am I supposed to do with my life? The road will level out in front of us, right? The sun will come out, the birds will sing, and all will be right with the world because I know what I'm supposed to do with my life, right? You guys know what I'm talking about, that question. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Here's the problem. I've seen people paralyzed by that question. Like they can't make a decision for anything because they don't know what they're supposed to do with their life, right? They're just paralyzed. They spend years of their lives in this sort of like holding pattern. I don't want to get committed over there because I'm not sure if that's what God wants me to do. Well, I don't want to take that job because what if that's not the job God wants for me? I don't want to go. I don't want to take those courses because what if God doesn't want me in that field? I don't want to. You know what I mean? What am I supposed to do with my life? And they get in this holding pattern where it's almost like, you know, they're trying to figure it out. But in the meantime, they're completely useless to the kingdom, to God, in their relationships because they're in this like limbo. You know, they're like in this limbo state. I'm just going to spend the next year trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do with my life. You have wasted a year. You have completely wasted a year. And the problem is that it's not the right question that we should be asking ourselves. We should not be asking ourselves, what am I supposed to do with my life? What am I supposed to do? What is the right question? What is the right question? That's what we're going to talk about. First, let's pray. God, I ask that you would give each one of us wisdom today. Lord, that you would help us to ask the right questions, that you would help us to be people who refuse to ask shallow questions and get shallow answers, who refuse to be lazy in our thinking. God, that we would be deep people who would take the time to ask the right questions, because when we ask the right questions, we'll find the solutions. And so, God, let your word come alive in us today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to start off. We're going to take a look at a kind of a longish scripture, Ephesians 4, 21 through 32. And you know what's crazy is we have probably, we've probably taught from or taken from this scripture in various ways and forms over the last 7 years, more than any other chapter in the Bible. We've pulled from this one. But I think that it really speaks volumes to the issue of asking the wrong question. The wrong question being, what does God want me to do with my life? What am I supposed to do with my life? And it says this: since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. I'm going to repeat that one again. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God. What is this nature that God wants us to put on? Is to be like what? To be like Christ, exactly. Truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work. Then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Okay, there's so much in the scripture. There's 10 sermons in this scripture. But the wrong question is, what should I do? The question we should be asking ourselves is, who does God want me to be? Right? I mean, all this whole passage talks about just being like Christ. And who God wants you to be is someone who reflects the image of God. Did you catch how Paul is telling the Ephesians, become people that God wants you to be. Become the people that God wants you to be, right? Throw off the sinful person you used to be. Let the Holy Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Be righteous. Be holy. Be honest. Be an encourager with your words. Be kind and forgiving. Be more like Jesus. So the right question is who does God want me to be? We're going to get into this. There's so much packed into this question. Who does God want me to be? Okay? Because here's the problem. When we get stuck on what does God want me to do, right? And we've all been there. What does God want me to do? What does God want me to do? It forms a limiting belief within us that there's only one option in our life and that we have to somehow coerce God into revealing it to us, right? There's just one number on the page. There's just one option. I'm sorry, you have. I have one spouse set aside for you. I have one job for you. There's only one city I want you to live in. There's just one. Like, there's just one teeny number on the page, and we've got to spend our life just begging God to show us what that is, right? And what that does is forces us into that holding pattern. It forces us to get stuck, right? It forms a limiting belief in us. And it's like we just think, if I don't just figure that out, my life is forever screwed, right? That's what we think. Somehow I'm less. Somehow I'm missing out. Somehow. And so when we get stuck on this, what does God want me to do? And then we're just afraid if we don't figure it out and do it, we're just screwed. But who does God want me to be? It opens up this whole world of possibilities, right? As long as we're living like Jesus. I mean, those become our parameters. Instead of this, you know, our parameters being this big, because there's only one number on the page, we've got to figure out what God wants us to do. When we go, well, who does God want me to be? It just opens up. And wouldn't you rather have like this open field to run in than have this little jail cell called, you know, what God wants me to do, right? And so we have to understand that God wants us to be like Him. And so this kind of, you know, this might upset some of you, but when I was thinking about Mary and Wendy, I prayed about it a little. I prayed. Did you pray about it a little, honey? Yeah, a little bit, right? I prayed about it a little. You know, but I didn't stress about it, and I didn't worry. Oh, what if she's not the woman? What if she's not the woman? You know, I remember when I was working, I used to work on this telephone line. It was a prayer line at 4 in the morning, which, bad. And I remember people would call me, and more than once, I'd called usually by a woman. I've been married for 5 years, but I think I married the wrong man. I think I was supposed to marry this other guy that I know, and I missed it, right? And like, it was usually a woman and a worship pastor. I think I was supposed to marry him. I think I married the wrong guy. And there's just these weird thoughts about right guy, wrong guy, all this stuff. But here's the thing. When I married Wendy, I was super committed to being the person that God wanted me to be. And I knew that she was committed to being the person that God wanted her to be. And you know what? That was enough. That was enough. Because if she wasn't she wasn't committed to being the person that God wanted her to be, then you know, I would have been miserable, you know. And if I wasn't committed, then she would have been miserable. And you know, because she was committed to being the person that God wanted her to be, then we would have known before we went to the altar. You know, we went with such peace. She was committed to being the person God wanted her to be. I was committed to being the person God wanted me to be. And that I knew that because of that, we would walk in purity. We would walk in growth. We would walk in Christ-likeness together, right? And so those were the parameters. All of a sudden, doesn't that just kind of like if you're single, doesn't that just sort of open up the field, right? Instead of going, God must have this one person. If I don't figure out who that is and solve some sort of weird, you know, puzzle because God's up there going, figure out the puzzle. You know, like God's up there just, you know, getting some sort of sick pleasure out of watching you try to figure out a puzzle. And if you don't solve the puzzle, you're going to marry the wrong person, be miserable for the rest of your life. And so, no, find somebody who is committed to being the person that God wants them to be. And if you're committed to being the person God wants you to be, it's going to be great. Okay? So, I want to talk about just four reasons why who does God want me to be is a great question to be asking yourself, really, in any situation. And the first is this, who does God want me to be brings me into alignment with what's important to God? Who does God want me to be brings me into alignment with what's important to God? So, here's the thing is, we tend to be people who find our meaning through motion, right? We find meaning through motion. So we always want to be in motion. What does God want me to do? And if I can just do that, I'll find fulfillment. I'll find, you know, I'll be in alignment with what's important to God. But, you know, we don't always stop to ask ourselves what's really important to God. Because if we're committed to becoming more like God, if we're committed to being who God wants us to be, we will know what's important to God. Right, I don't need to ask my wife what's important to her. I don't wake up in the middle of the night and shake her shoulder and go, "I'm just dying to know what's important to you, honey." I don't have to ask because we're in relationship, because I love her, because when she talks, I listen, right? 80% of the time. 85, 75, just give or take, you know. But I listen. I know it's important to her because I'm in relationship with her and I don't have to beg her to tell me what it is. And if we allow God to shape us into people that are more like Christ, then what's important to God will become important to us. Right? It was one of the things that I just love about the Vineyard. Because I grew up in a denomination where there were certain things that were super important to that denomination, but other things that weren't. Things like worship was really important to them. That was cool. Things like evangelism were really important to them. But they didn't so much emphasize things like creation care or the poor, right? And I remember coming into the Vineyard, and it was my second time at a Vineyard church. It was at Vineyard Davenport, and I noticed something. There was a recycle bin over by the door. And I said to the pastor, I said, I think that's really cool, that's important to you. And he just looks at me almost like, duh, you know. And he's like, well, we just think if it's important to God, it should be important to us. Oh, okay. So as we become the people that God wants us to be, right, then what's important to him becomes important to us. So the next thing is this. Who does God want me to be? It calls me to dig deeper than my actions. Dig deeper than my actions, right? Sometimes we take actions that aren't very deep. They're kind of shallow, okay? Who does God want me to be? It prompts us to look at our motivations, to look at why. Why do I want to do that? Why do I feel led to that? Sometimes we do the right things for the wrong reasons, right? Sometimes we go to a prayer meeting and we pray out loud so we can impress people with our prayers. That's doing the right thing for the wrong reasons. Yeah. Sometimes we give or we do something generously so that we can tell other people how generous we are. Have you ever heard somebody tell you, I'm like the most humble person I know? I've heard that, okay? I'm like one of the most humble people I know. Sometimes we do the right things for the wrong reasons. And we've seen this happen with camp volunteers. Wendy could tell you stories. Because camp tends to, kind of poke people in the heart, right? And so they step up to volunteer, but then they're frustrated when, I'll give you an example. We had a camp volunteer who noticed that one of the campers had shoes where the soles were just coming right off, right? And he said to Wendy, who's our camp director, I wanna buy him a new pair of shoes. I wanna get a new pair of shoes. I wanna give them to him. We're like, okay, that's the right thing, right? But when Wendy said, okay, but you won't be able to give them to him. They have to be presented from the camp, right? And there's a reason for that, and that's because we don't want our campers seeing any of our volunteers as like sugar daddies, coming back over and over. And so it's just really to protect our camp volunteers and things like that. And he was so upset. He was so upset that he couldn't personally hand the shoes to him and see the glow and get the hug, right? He was very upset about that. Sometimes we do the right things for the wrong reasons, all right? That's why we need to become who God wants us to be. And so it prompts us to look at our character. It prompts us to look at our character. Am I acting out of love? Am I acting out of joy, out of peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Okay? It prompts us to look at our character. I've seen people make huge mistakes just because they lacked patience. Huge mistakes because they lacked patience, because they lacked peace, because they lacked self-control. These are the things that God wants us to become like, right? That's the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, when the Holy Spirit controls our life, those are the things that come out of us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, okay? So the third thing is this. Who does God want me to be leads me to deeper fulfillment. Deeper fulfillment. Have you ever done what you felt God wanted you to do, but it was kind of a letdown? Oh, that wasn't quite the sense of fulfillment I was looking for, right? And we see that, in church and in volunteer ministries. And if you've ever, been a part of a nonprofit or volunteer ministry, you'll see somebody come in and it's like
just like just diving in head first. They are all and then some in. And then like 5 months later, not so much. 5 months later, they're not feeling so fulfilled. It wasn't quite what they were hoping for. And so they search out another opportunity, and then they're all in on that one, because that's the answer to the internal questions which they know not of. And somehow they're finding this fulfillment. And 4 or 5 months later, I don't know. And so they go find something else. Okay? And so, but when we go, who does God want me to be? And we live out of that, it leads to deeper fulfillment. Okay? And so the problem with focusing on doing instead of becoming is that we're usually guided by some sort of gut feeling. Okay? And I'll just tell you, I don't necessarily always discount the gut feeling. Sometimes, you know, the gut feeling, you follow the gut feeling, that's good. But if we're, gut feeling can be influenced literally by hunger, fatigue, and stress. All right? So I'm just saying, there's some measure of, yeah, you know, I knew a pastor who said, I just know when God's speaking to me because it's a thought with a feeling attached. I think you need to put it to a test a little deeper than that. You know, we all have thoughts with feelings attached. I can think about some people and feel like punching them. It doesn't mean that God is leading me to punch them, okay? But you've got to go deeper. Okay? Who does God want me to be? And so when we're guided by, so like, okay, I'm not discounting that. I'm not. So I'm just saying, but you need to go deeper than that. And so, you know, I've been wrong about a lot of gut feelings. I've been wrong about a lot of gut feelings, okay? However, when we're guided by the question, who does God want me to be in this situation? Who does God want me to be in this circumstance? Who does God want me to be in this need that's presented to me right now? Who does God want me to be? When we're guided by who does God want me to be in this situation, in this season, in this decision-making, in this relationship, you know, then we're not disappointed. Because we could say with confidence, I was Christ in this situation. What I see in the Gospels of Jesus, right, I acted that out in this situation, okay? And so we have to be guided by that. And the last thing is this, who does God want me to be moves me closer to becoming who God created me to be, okay? We want to be the people that God created us to be, yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah. We want to be the people that God created us to be. And when we ask ourselves that question, who does God want me to be? It moves us closer to that. The bottom line is this. You can do what God wants you to do and still not be the person God wants you to be. But you can't be the person God wants you to be and not do the things that He wants you to do. Think about that. Okay? I'm going to repeat that because I want it to sink in really deep. You can do what God wants you to do and still not be the person God that He wants you to be. But you can't be the person God wants you to be and not do the things He wants you to do. So the question shouldn't be, what does God want me to do? It should be, who does God want me to be? Right? Because what we do flows naturally out of what's inside of us. Okay? So even Scripture says that the words we speak are just an overflow of what's in our heart. Okay? It's just an overflow of who we are. And so what we do flows naturally out of what's inside of us. And if we're becoming more and more like Jesus every day, then we'll do what He wants us to do without begging Him to reveal it and getting stuck in some sort of holding pattern as we try to figure it out. Just grow and become more and more like Jesus. All right? And so the best of all is we get to then represent Jesus wherever we go. We get to just be Jesus, right? The old saying, Jesus with skin on. You know, we get to be Jesus at our work. We get to be Jesus in our family. We get to be Jesus in our church and in our community. And so what I want to do today is I just want to pray. I just want to pray that God would show us. God, who do you want me to be? Who do you want me to be? And so as we close up, we're going to have a prayer team. We're going to have two prayer team members up front and two prayer team members in the back. Because then you have options. Okay? And you can pray with them. And so if you need prayer today, see one of them. But if the worship team, why don't you come on up? I just want to pray. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. God, I believe that it's not a huge mystery who you want us to be. That's not mysterious. The word is really clear. Scripture is very clear about who you want us to be. And so, God, I ask simply that you would help us to be people that are committed to being who you want us to be. That we would be people who are committed to be loving and full of joy and peace. That we would be people who are patient and kind and good. That we would be people who are faithful and gentle and full of self-control. God, that we would be committed to that, being who you want us to be, above pursuing this elusive, what do you want us to do? Lord, I know that if we're faithful to being who you want us to be, you'll reveal to us what you want us to do. Lord, help us to be people who ask the right questions, who refuse shallow thinking, who refuse easy answers. But God, that we would be people who are committed to being aligned with what's important to you, committed to becoming more like you, committed to seeking you, to knowing you, to knowing your word, so that we can be who you want us to be. God, I pray for every person in this room that has been stuck in a holding pattern. Kind of just stuck in that place where they feel like they're in between. Maybe they have been trying to pursue just this one number on a page, just this sort of elusive God's will. I ask God that you would give them a peace about just letting that go. Turning their eyes on you and reflecting you and becoming more and more like you. God, set us free from those limiting beliefs that keep us closed-fisted, that keep us closed off, that keep us from being able to release generosity, that keep us from being able to release time, that keep us from being able to say yes because we're worried about your will. What if it's whatever? God, set them free. Set them free. Set them free to become more and more like you every day in every way. In Jesus' name.